Hey, welcome to Tanya Definitions. We are up to Oys Gimel. We just finished Beis, and we spoke about B'nai Aliyah at length, which is a subject very close to my heart. And now we have another subject that's also very close to my heart, which is Gaiva. Okay, and I strive to not be Gaivadik. And I'll just tell you a secret. I'll tell you a secret that when I was 18 years old, God spoke to me. I'm not joking. I believe that with my whole heart. I told you this? Oh, I've told you, yeah? So I. What? I can't. So I sat bolt upright. It was the middle of the night. I woke up immediately, sat bolt upright. And he had said to me one word. And. In the one word, and this was before I knew anything about Yiddishkeit, and this is exactly how we learn is Hashem's way, that in that one word, he said to me, "You are arrogant and you must stop being arrogant." It was one word that I'm not joking. This is real. I don't think I have told you this, Michael. I have told very few people this. So this is dead serious. Like I knew that God had spoken to me. Maybe I was like 20. I was before I was from for sure. I remember exactly where I was in my bedroom in the middle of the night. I sat bolt upright and I was scratching my head, trying to remember the word he said. It was a word and it had two meanings. It was one word that said, "You are arrogant and you should stop being arrogant." And I knew exactly what he said to me, and I knew it was one word, and I couldn't find the word. So that's an interesting story that I don't know if I don't think I did tell you because I haven't told many people, but there you go. Now it's out there. So I do feel that Hashem has actually said one word to me. wasn't particularly what's the word? Complimentary. But anyway, so what is arrogance? So Michael's off the hook because his speaker doesn't work. Arrogance is the feeling of being separate. It's not thinking you're better than other people is a manifestation of gaiva, but also feeling that you're worse than other people is also a manifestation of gaiva. Seeing the words them and us is gaiva.
It
Yitzi.
wouldn't be the opposite of humble. It wouldn't be the opposite of like not open to change and growth.
Well, why is somebody who's humble open to change and growth?
Because that's the definition.
Well, why wouldn't somebody be open to change and growth?
Because it's all about themselves.
Nah, that's not good. That's not a good answer. You could still be.
Some people who feel they don't need any repair.
Well, kind of, but more conceptually is that they are contained by these walls that are created of their ideology. Just remember that ideology is walls, walls, whatever, however you pronounce it. Yeah. Your ideology, and it doesn't mean the more ideologies you have, the bigger your wall is. Not at all. The stronger your ideology is, the deeper your identification with the ideology, yeah, the stronger the wall is around you. That's what it is. It's a conceptual wall that separates you from everyone and everything else. That's gaiva. That's called being a dava bifnei atzmoi. It's interesting, the word. You've heard the expression dava bifnei atzmoi, yeah? You ever thought about Yitzi, you heard the word? Bit? And Tanya uses it a few times. Yeah, what is it? Like, think about the actual word, the expression dava bifnei atzmo. A thing. I mean, the translation that we translate is something unto itself, yeah? But look at the word, what it gives you the idea is something, a davar, a thing, That is bifnei atzmoi, to the face of itself. Meaning, what's the difference between treating something in a face when you're treating something with your face or you're treating something with your back? Is when you're treating something with your face, it's an end unto itself. And when you're treating something with your back, it's a means unto an end. So this is the issue of a Baal Gaiva. He's a Dava Bifnei Atzma. He is an end unto himself. The minute you think you're an end unto yourself, you are in Paro's palace and not as a good guy. And don't forget, though, by the way, that's where Moshe had to grow up. Wasn't stunned that he grew up in Paro's palace. Maybe one of the reasons for that is that the biggest shmira against Gaiva is seeing Gaiva. That can really help you. That can really help get over it, because it's disgusting. It's revolting. It's mummish. It's hideous. Gaiva's mummish, revolting, and seeing it firsthand. I mean, seeing real selfishness. Like, we've seen that. We, Baruch Hashem, we live in good neighborhoods. We're with good people. Yeah. So it's but you know, everyone's bum. Everyone's had the disprivilege, the displeasure of having to deal with a real narcissist. Yeah. It's disgusting. It's pasha disgusting. Like, or when or somebody who's not a narcissist, but he's a child who gets into like a narcissistic mood, or goes to a very narcissistic tekufa. Yeah, that's a real shmira against Gaiva. That's really a shmira when you see it, when you see how revolting it is. Yeah, and how it's just and it's so fake as well. It's so obviously not true. That it gives you a real, that can give you a real, and that's probably one of the reasons why Moshe had to grow up in the house of Paroi. And Paroi is the paradigm of Gaiva. It says in the Gemara, I think it's in Moed Katan, I think I remember learning it in Moed Katan, that Paroi was an Amatul. Yeah, one Amma. He was as big as my arm, yeah. And his beard was an amah. And this is what the Gemara says. And his aver was an amah. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. He was an amatul. His beard was an amah, which means his beard had to scrape along the floor a little bit. And his Ava was also an Amma, which meant that also had to scrape along the floor. And I saw also in the Ramban HaKadosh, I saw with my own eyes. I tried to find it again. I couldn't find. But one of my projects that I went, one of my projects one year was going through the Ramban on the Chumash, and he says that the Mitzrim were Balei Gever. You know what that means? They were well endowed. So it means, yeah, the Ramban HaKadosh says, he says that on the Mitzrim. That was one of the simanim of who they were. So that has to go along with the inyan of Gaiva. I don't know what the we can think about that connection for ourselves, but that we shouldn't probably. But Shalom Blazer. But anyway, that's interesting that the that Paroi, that's that those are the dimensions we're given of Paroi. Yeah, he was an Amatol, his beard was an Amma, and his Ava was an Amma, and he is the paradigm of Gaiva. So whatever that tells us, we have to think about that. Eliezer, we're discussing the definition of Gaiva. So just on one leg, we said that Gaiva is not feeling better than anybody else. Gaiva is feeling separate from everyone else. Definition of Gaiva in three words is Dava Bifnei Atzmoi. That's Gaiva. Now that means that you could feel better than others, or you could feel inferior to others. Kozman, there's an others by you. Yeah, that's Gaiva. A tzaddik doesn't have to the tzaddik, yidn, there is no such thing as another yid. There's no other yid. Meaning we just it's v'ahavta. There's no other. I'm playing with words, but the point is that there's no other. We're on the same team. And when you're on the same team, I was mentioning this in the last show I gave in G4, is that the same team mindset, which is the principle number six, is an amazing eitzah for marriage. Yeah, I think we mentioned this, but I'll say it again. This is worth saying every day. Is that before your wife is a metzias by you, yeah, which hopefully we're all married now for, 20 years plus. Yeah, Michael, how long are you married for? 15. Okay, we're all in the ballpark now of our wives having actually taken on a reality unto their own. Yeah, we can appreciate our wives now. At least we're beginning. Yeah, before that, and also after that as well. But before that, this is a great piece of advice. Is when you want to be horrible to your wife, remember that there's a mitzvah of marriage. That there's a mitzvah of kedushin. And what we can do in that case is we can honor the marriage. Right now, in the situation we're in, our wife isn't a reality to us. So it's that we're not in a great place, but our wife isn't real to us. And I'm not saying that lightly. I mean that's probably most of our default plays. We look at people as in context of us, which means they're not really a person. Yeah. So if we're in that situation, in that moichin dekatnus, and we remember that our mitzvah is to beautify the marriage, then we can subdue our yetzer in the pursuit of glorifying the marriage. So right now, where we're holding, our wife deserves to get the sharp end of our tongue, yeah. But because that isn't going to beautify the marriage, that isn't shalom bias. Shalom bias is making that's the mitzvah of marriage is shalom bias. So even though my wife deserves what I want to give her right now, yeah, I will control myself. Because of the mitzvah of shalom bias. It sounds simple, but what you're really doing is you've got your, and this is the symbol of the chuppah, is you have you and your wife, but then you have a gug over you. That's the marriage. So you're being machnir yourself to the gug, not to your wife. You're not a big enough man right now to subdue yourself to actually. To be machnir to your wife. But you are a big enough man to be machnir yourself to the mitzvah. And that's, you get that? Is that clear? Yeah? It's a very powerful idea. And that's the idea of the same team mindset, understanding that Shevis Achim Gam Yachad, that we're all brothers together. Then we've got the mitzvah. Right now, this guy. He's driving me crazy. Yeah, it's not tochacha. He's not. He hasn't done something wrong. He's just been really annoying. Yeah, but I have the schus now of being mekayim the mitzvah of shevas achim gam yachad. Come on, whatever you want to, however you want to quit, which means I'm not being machnir myself to this man. I'm being machnir myself to the mitzvah. Which is the roof above both of us, and that's really a powerful way, especially in marriage, to really get clear on the sanctity of what marriage is, of the institution of marriage. It's like the way Rav Manna says, people say, I love this girl, so I'm going to marry her. So it means that marriage is a kind of what's the word? Marriage is a decoration on love. You love her, that's the foundation. Now you'll decorate that love with marriage. That's absolutely backward. Marriage is to be decorated with love. The most important thing in your marriage is your kasuba. I mean, conceptually, meaning the most important thing in your marriage is not your love for your wife, it's the marriage. It's the bris that you have with your wife. Now it makes sense to love her with all your heart, with all your might, and with everything you've got. Yeah. But don't think that marriage is there to beautify the love. The love is there to beautify the marriage. Just like the mitzvah. The mitzvah is there, you know, like Ner Chanukah is not there to give you a meditative experience. The meditative experience can be a hiddah for Ner Chanukah. But don't think that Ner Chanukah is there to tease you, you know, to tickle your spiritual, you know, to tickle your spiritual cheeks. That's not what Ner Chanukah is about. But if you invest yourself correctly into Ner Chanukah, yeah, and you have real kavana, that's a hiddah mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But never get confused with what's ikra and tofel, because you can have the meditative experience with a pasul menorah. You can have a tremendously deep meditative experience. Yeah, you've got the right music, you've got the right lighting, you've got the wrong menorah. Yeah, well, you weren't mekayem in the midst of Ner Chanukah, but you had a geshmaka experience. Whereas if you got a kosher Hanukkiah and you put it out in the right place, you light it, and as you're lighting it, your kid mamash soils himself. Yeah, like I had to deal with this afternoon. Your 4-year-old child comes home crying that he's soiled himself. And now you have to run to the bathroom in the middle of Ner Chanukah. This has happened. Yeah, you have to run to many, many, many people. You have to run to the bathroom. You have to spritz him down. You know, you got a 10-minute really unpleasant job. Yep. How good did that feel? That's putting ourselves in context. That means that the experience of the mitzvah is there to be mahadeh the mitzvah. But never, ever, ever fall into the gyva of thinking that the mitzvah is there to bring you an experience. That's called getting means and ends confused, and that's called Gehenna. Confusing means for ends and ends for means is called Gehenna. And to a sensitive person, that will cause suffering and that will cleanse itself. So that's Gaiva. Gaiva means that we are separate from everything else, and therefore we are an end unto ourselves, when in truth we are a means to an end. The end is reality, which we call Hashem, and we fit into that somehow. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And we can practice that in marriage by realizing that we fit into context of marriage, not that marriage is there to pleasure me. I'm there to pleasure marriage. Okay, any questions? Vita? Okay, Gullus and Geula. We're in Gimel, yeah? So we know we've learned this a lot, but it's a very simple definition of Gullus and Geula. Gullus is defined as an inability to accurately express yourself. And Geula is defined as free-flowing expression. I'm talking about your real self. So, for example, as a very obvious example, would be a person who is addicted to alcoholism. A guy's addicted to alcohol, is an alcoholic, and he desperately doesn't want to drink. He's in Gullus because he doesn't want to drink, but his behavior is drinking. So he's not accurately expressing who he is. That's called being in a Gullus. A tzaddik is Bechinas Geula. Why? Because a tzaddik is acting according to his higher self. His actions are in line with who he is. Now you might say to me, so the Beinoni, yeah? The Beinoni, who he is he's a person, and he's also godly. Yeah, but he's also a created being. He's got tivers to do bad stuff or to do selfish things, but because he's put together, yeah, and he's got Yiras Shamayim, he behaves correctly. But he really wants to do, he wants to do stuff that isn't in line with Torah, but he behaves correctly. Doesn't that sound like Gullus? He wants to, I don't know, go to the disco in Tel Aviv, but because he's got Yiras Shamayim, he doesn't do that. He doesn't behave in that way. So that sounds like our definition of Gullus. He's not expressing who he is. So in this case, that's called his Nefesh HaBehamis is in Gullus, which means he, because he's Jewish, is actually Bechinas Geula. The goal, how do we extract our Nefesh HaBehamis from Gullus? How do we redeem, Yitzi, how do we redeem our Nefesh HaBehamis from Gullus?
I was going to say change your behavior, but it sounds like the behavior has already changed, so that's not good.
But what do you do when you change your behavior? What happens now that you change your behavior after enough time if you behave?
I'm saying it'll change your Nefesh Bahamas.
Exactly.
It'll go back up.
So redeeming the Nefesh of Bahamas from Gullus means training the animal soul to become in line with Torah and mitzvahs. Giving it a teva sheni, like a well-behaved circus animal. Like you know that the tigers that do all their funny thing, whatever they do. So that is the redemption of the Nefesh HaBehamis. The Nefesh HaBehamis is called good chinuch. You're here to be machanach, your lower self. That's called redeeming the Nefesh HaBehamis from Galus. Because kol zman you're in line with Torah and mitzvahs, and you're dealing with a vilde chaya. Yeah, if your Nefesh HaBehamis is mamash an aggressive Baal Taiva or whatever, then there's an element of you that is in Gullus, so to speak, but that behavior itself is constantly feeding in, and it's so what's the word? It's so powerful and so like immediate how quickly the Nefesh HaBehamis starts falling into line. Like you can train an animal quite quickly. It's not an endless process. You get to Madre, there's more and more Madregas. You can get your animal to start writing up essays for you and stuff. That's a very high Madrega. But to actually get your animal to kind of become at least domesticated, I don't know. Wait, Michael, you just bought a dog, you said? He's like house trained. You have oh, you don't you can't speak, can you? Wait, so he goes to the bathroom on the floor yet? He goes to the bathroom on the floor? He goes outside? He knows how to do that? You trained him or somebody else trained? He was trained. You did it. How long did that take? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Yeah. It's like potty training a kid. You need to, get a couple of bingos, and they know what they're doing, and it takes a week or two, and and that's it. So it's not an endless job. The problem is that we don't take the training process so seriously. But if we really took the training process so seriously, you would soon start to see that things like, imagine this, things like shachris start to become a pleasure. The Nefesh of Bahamas can't stand shachris. Minastam, yeah, very few Nefashas Bahamas can stomach shachris. Yeah. And they become what's the word? Like a kind of an apathetic child. They just, in the best case scenario, they just kind of get dragged along. But if you really take on to drag the Nefesh HaBahamis, to put the Nefesh HaBahamis into it, meaning, be involved and energized and et cetera, and try and enjoy the words, which they are very enjoyable. Yeah, then before you know it, your Nefesh HaBahamis will start to he will actually start enjoying shachris, amazingly enough. And that's called redeeming the Nefesh HaBahamis. So galus is when you are not expressing yourself accurately. Now, if you're acting like a behemah, that means your Nefesh HaBahamis is in, so to speak, relative geula, and your Nefesh HaLachis is in galus. But that's only on a superficial level. Really, they're both in galus. Just like a child, imagine letting your child, your 6-year-old, 7-year-old child, just run free. Like you saw that film Home Alone. You remember the film Home Alone? Yeah. You remember when he gets left alone, he's like, he can't believe it, and all of a sudden he's got the potato chips and the cake, and he's watching the movies, and he's, and soon enough he starts to pull himself together. Yeah. Because he realizes that you don't want this. A child, children absolutely don't want to be left hefka. They scare themselves. It's just like when your emotions are out of check. It's the exact same thing. When you're very, very emotional, you feel uneasy. It's uncomfortable. You're out of control. It's very uncomfortable. Yeah, that's what a child is bechinas emotions, and the parents are seichel. So the child ends up feeling very uncomfortable, and that's the case when the Nefesh of Bahamas is running the show. Yeah, even though on the pshat he's in geula, in truth he's in galus, and he is feeling very uneasy. That's why the kids who are hefka to their tivers are in the worst place internally, because the Nefesh HaBahamis wants to be trained. He wants to be potty trained. That's what he wants. So Geula for the Yid is when he is acting, she is acting in accordance with Torah and mitzvahs, because that's what the neshama wants. And Galus by Yid is when he's not acting in alignment with Torah and mitzvahs. And I said to Gavriel, his father was just Nifta. I was speaking to him, and his father had a very interesting story. He was running from Europe and all kinds of things. He had very, very negative Jewish experiences. And so Gavriel said, "Look, my dad was running from Yiddishkeit for most of his life." And I said to him, "Your father was not running from Yiddishkeit. A Yid could never run from Yiddishkeit. Your father was running from what people thought was Yiddishkeit, or what he had thought was Yiddishkeit. But a Yid can only run towards Yiddishkeit. There's no greater zivug in reality than the Yid and the Torah. That is the ultimate zivug. That is Yisrael and Rochel. That's Zer and Nuk. That is Kudsha Baruch Hu Shchinte. That's Knesset Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That there's no shid there's no shidduch better than that. There's no shidduch more real than that. So your neshama is running to Torah and mitzvahs in the most active way possible. So now, this we've just been speaking about galus and geula on a private level. So what does it mean, galus hashchina? What does it mean, Hashem's in galus?
Well, if we're in Gullis, I mean, we're his name. So if we're in Gullis, then he's in Gullis, fortunately.
Okay, but if you're Gullis, yeah, if an alcoholic is in Gullis, yeah, because he doesn't want to be drinking and he's drinking, means his behavior is not aligned with who he is. So what does it mean that Hashem is in Gullis? It means the same thing. It means Hashem's behavior is not aligned with who he is. You're like, what are you talking about? How can Hashem, like, he's got a gambling problem. He's doing stuff that he doesn't want to do. So Hashem, in his infinite humility, it says he's miyached his malchus with Am Yisrael. Malchus is behavior. That's the hiskalus. That's the revelation. That's the gilui. He was miyached his malchus with Am Yisrael, meaning he handed his behavior over to us. So when we say that the Shekhinah is in Gullis, like just like what Yitzi said, yeah, when we're not behaving correctly, that means Hashem is in Gullis. Why? Because we are his behavior. And he wants to do Torah and mitzvahs. So when we are not aligned with Torah and mitzvahs, that means that the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachmana Litzlan, is in Gullis. That's called Gullis HaShechina. His expression is Torah and mitzvahs. That's his Ratzon. Ratzon Hashem is Torah and mitzvahs. All he wants to do is he wants to just be putting on mezuzahs, putting mezuzahs on doorposts all day long. Wearing tzitzis and giving tzedakah and all the mitzvahs of the Torah, that's what he wants to do. And he doesn't want to do any aveiros as well. But in his infinite kindness, in his infinite humility, he handed that responsibility over to Am Yisrael. So Hashem's behavior is in our hands. And that's where the Goyim made the mistake of thinking that Yoshki was God incarnate. Because they weren't that far off. Am Yisrael is God incarnate, not one Yid. Am Yisrael as a nation is the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And he wants to do Torah and mitzvahs. So Kol Zman, we're not acting, doing Torah and mitzvahs. That means he is in Gullis. And it's the exact same inyan as what we said with the alcoholic Lahavdil, is that he and his behavior is not one. That's why we say, B'yomu yeah, Shem Echad, U'shemoy Echad, Shemoy Zemalchus. That's his behavior. So that's the day we're looking forward to when he and his name is one. That's David Melech Yisrael Chai v'Kayom. Chai is shame, and Kiyom is etzem. And David was Chai v'Kayom. His Chias and his Kiyom were one, and they were merged with each other. That's a big thing. That's just coming to me right now.
Isn't that Baal Shem Tov as well?
Exactly. Baal Shem Tov, meaning his name was Tov. His name was Toiv, and that's what we say by Hashem. What do we say in Moedim? What's the Siyum of Moedim? Bruch Hashem. Hatoiv. Shmecha. Shimcha, what is it?
Lechanel
Wait a minute.
Hodo.
Shim, sh you ever translated the words? It's created. The translation is mamash a doichek. It is Hatoiv Shimcha Ulacha Noel Hoidois. Not your name is good, that would be Shimcha Toiv. We say Hatoiv Shimcha. The good is your name. Not that your name is good, it's that your name is good. That's your name, good. You get me? That's the translation. Hatoiv Shimcha Ulchan Elohoidos. Meaning that's when we're machnia in Moedim. Good, remember, means transparent, surrendered. Yeah? So when we say Hatoiv Shimcha in Moedim, Moedim is when we say thank you, which means to humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves to our God, to Hashem, then his name has become good, meaning transparent to him, like you said, the Baal Shem Tov. You with me? You understand? Hatoiv Shimcha.
I didn't pick up the modem thing. I'm not picking up the modem.
Moedim, yeah. Moedim is the tefillah of thanks, which means of being machnia yourself, of humbling yourself to Hashem. That's what moedim means, yeah. To be machnia, hoid, Russian hoid, to submit, yeah. So in moedim, where we say to Hashem, you know what, we're here for you. The siyum of it is hatoiv shimcha. When I'm in the state of hachna, of submission, that means your name is good. Why? Because I'm your name. You gave me your name. I'm your behavior. So now I've become transparent to you. And that is Hashem's geula. When we behave ourselves correctly, Hashem is geula sashchina. Geulas, not galus. That is geula sashchina. So that's by the way, I'm just seeing that now. What's the difference in Galus and Geula? The word is an Aleph. So Galus is just Gimel Lamed, and Geula is Gimel with an Aleph and a Lamed. Gal means to reveal. So Galus, there's a revelation, but not of God. It's just expression of whatever you're expressing, your Nefesh HaBahamis, whatever you're expressing. Geula is the expression of the Aleph. That's when the Aleph gets expressed. Aleph is Hashem. Yeah, that's when the Aleph gets expressed. Okay, so that was Geula and Galus and Geula. Shkoyach. And we'll, oh, we did all of that. We also did Galus and Das. That's also, yeah, and Galus and Shechina and Geula and Geula Shleima. Okay, we did Gimel. Next week we'll be Dalet, which is Das.
We're
Shkoyach.
going too fast. Slow down.
Great. We spent like 7 weeks in Aleph and we just did Gimel. Okay.
Yeah.
Shkoyach.